Hello, everybody, and welcome back to MYR DNA. It's been a while. Our triumphant return, our spectacular return, the return that everyone has been waiting for. And I'm not talking about the Messiah. I'm talking about MYR DNA.
You nailed that.
Yeah, but the thing drove past.
No, what? I didn't hear anything. That's right? Fine. That's fine. That's good.
All right. That was great. That was great.
Yeah. Okay. So we got a lot of things to talk about today, but the main point that we want to zero in on is what's going on with the Rangers in the preseason. I think they finished with a record of 1-5. Yeah, 1-5. So is this doomsday for all Rangers fans? Is this panic time or is this chill time, calm down time? Okay, it's just preseason. And I think the professor has got a lot to say.
I think you need to calm down. You're getting very great, Nick.
I get very antsy.
His neck is expanding as we speak.
The veins in his forehead were in 3D on the Zoom.
Yeah. His neck is expanding at a rapid rate as we
speak. Okay, are we talking about my neck? We're talking about hockey.
It's been a long time, folks. It's good to be back. We got the engineer here. We got the comedian. Of course, the biggest in the business, Great Nick, and the professor here talking Rangers hockey. It's been a while. We were banned from the airwaves for over a year because of some bum rap that was the government levied against us. We've been cleared by all courts. All international courts have cleared us, and we're back to provide you with the Ranger content, the genetic content that all Ranger fans need, the DNA that is within all of us. So with all of that said,
I'm ready to spread my DNA. Are you ready to spread your DNA?
Oh, man.
I've been craving it.
So, engineer, comedian, what do you have to say? It's good to be back, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I just want to say thank you to everyone who's sticking with us after a nice long break from NYR DNA to our listeners around the globe. Specifically, I think we had a couple in like Germany. So, danke for listening.
Yes, Danke Shane
and you know,
bless you is Gundeschlagen.
Gesundheit.
Gesundheit. Yes,
so that's all I gotta say. It's good to be back, Phil.
It's great to be back. I also do think absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Beautiful.
And I hope that after this extended time off, that our fans really recognize what we've been bringing to them, and what was once missing has now returned.
Yeah, and you know,
he's like Socrates, man.
Every point that we made, dropping facts, we made, and I'm not flexing, but we were correct on I think everything. Yeah. So I mean, that's just another thing. What a quality podcast!
I mean, it's undervalued, underappreciated, and underwater at this point. But I feel that with a little luck, we can. What's that Paul McCartney song? With a little love.
Yesterday.
Something like that. Right. Yeah.
What a better time to start. You know, preseason just ended. The season's about to begin in like a week.
Let's talk about this preseason that we all have. As Great Neck did say, they have finished the preseason with a record of 1-5. Let's break that down. Hearing that in a vacuum, just what do we think about the sound of a 1-5 preseason? Is that cause for concern, or does preseason not mean anything and it's all fake?
Well, you know, in a vacuum, it's pretty loud.
Why do we keep
talking? So, I mean,
actually, no, vacuums are no sound at all. Like in
vacuums
cleaner,
are really loud.
No, the vacuum cleaner is loud.
But in a
vacuum is loud.
Like in space, it's not loud. You won't hear anything.
No, you can't
anyway.
Vacuum space.
Yes.
Not like a dustbuster.
No. Space. Mm-hmm.
Listen, when I hear 1-5 on the preseason, obviously, immediately there's cause for concern, in my head at least. The Rangers, in those games, I think they beat the Islanders was the one game they won pretty convincingly, but I don't know. They looked, in most of those games, especially the ones against the Devils, they looked a step slow. They look a little like they don't even really want to be there, but again, I keep telling myself it is the preseason. So, but you know, there is a little. I was watching those games a little concerned. That's what I'm saying.
Do we think the preseason matters, or for a what was once a very, very young team, which I guess to some degree is still young, mm-hmm. but is a veteran team as well. Do we think it doesn't matter? In other words, does the preseason matter? They're 1-5. Who gives a crap? These guys are seasoned veterans. They've all won multiple cups back-to-back. They don't need to work in the preseason. You got
it. Like the sarcasm. I don't know if everyone can understand.
Well, if
like,
you don't understand my sarcasm, then I'll tell you it's sarcasm.
I mean, the preseason exists so that you can be prepared for the regular season.
Get your obviously.
I don't feel that this Rangers team, if it is true that they just said, we don't care about the preseason, it doesn't really matter to us, and that's why they went 1-5, that to me is, it suggests that they're going to have a slow start to the regular season when it does actually matter. Of course, the proof will be in the pudding when they actually play the games. Like then we'll know for sure. But I would say, yeah, this is a team that has a lot to prove, I feel, just based on where they've been the last few seasons. And it's just not what you want to see out of the start. No, even though I do think that preseason, it objectively doesn't matter. You would have liked to have seen more of a fight in the first six fake games. Yeah.
And not to try and be a jerk to your point, comedian, but you're right. Objectively, and not even objectively, subjectively, it doesn't matter, right?
Factually.
It doesn't count. It actually doesn't count. But, Nick, do you have anything to say?
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of random thoughts. I've been thinking about this a lot.
You go 1-5. You go 1-5. There's cause for concern. You can't tell me there's not. There's cause for concern. But one thing that's keeping me going right now with the Rangers is that the last time they went 1-5 in a preseason, they went to the cup that season.
No.
2013, 2014.
Yeah, I know it's correct. But at the end of the day, that was a decade ago. Who cares? None of those players are on the team.
He's suggesting that was with a new coach.
Okay.
And they also didn't start off that season well. No, they didn't. With a new coach and a new system.
Fair enough. But why even?
I'm just saying, you went one. It's possible to go 1-5 in a preseason and still be good.
Oh, of course. I'm not saying that the season's over because they went 1-5 the preseason, or that they're going to make the cup final because they went 1-5 of the preseason.
Well, he's not saying that also.
I'm just saying I saw that tweet like 4 times, and I don't see the correlation at all besides they had the same record in the preseason. There's one guy on the team now that was on that team 10 years ago. So I don't.
That it's possible to have a good season after having a bad.
And race. Also, they're as Joe Micheletti said over and over again. I love Joe.
He's a nice guy.
Great guy. He is.
Was he talking about someone?
Has he made abundantly clear, painfully clear, that this was a new system that was being installed? Mm-hmm. So therefore, you have to expect that they're not going to know. Well, here's my thoughts on it. Not that you asked, but I'm going to tell you. I think context, as always, is the most important thing.
Yes, Professor.
Context is important. What I don't like about their 1-5 start is the fact that, number one, the new coach already had to come out after one of the preseason games and basically say they don't back check the effort. Basically, the effort is not there. Now, maybe he's just trying to send a message. I get it. There's all kinds of games being played. Having said that, I don't know. Because the context is that this team, the last coach said, in the playoffs, when he knew he was on his way out, right?
He didn't technically know. Because he said in that press conference, was like, I don't think I should be fired.
Whether he knew or he didn't know. And he had a lot of warts. I'm not saying he was the answer, but he also said talent is great, but you need a team that's going to work hard. In other words, who says that about their team? So this is a core group that has had 3 coaches now, 2 coaches fired. Okay. My point is context. They got a new coach who said from the get-go, we're going to be a hardworking team. It's all about this, that, and the other thing. And already in the 4th preseason game or 5th preseason game, he had to come out and say, we're not working hard. It bothers me. This team has not won a cup. This team has not gone to the... They had what objectively could be viewed in a few years from now as a fluke run to the conference finals. It could be, right? if they get bounced in the first round this year or no, don't make the playoffs, and they, we can look back at that run and say, that was a fluke. It happens. Montreal made a run a couple of years, right? This is, they have nothing in their, nothing, no feathers in their cap. And they come out with a new coach and he has to call them out on their effort. Now, does that, once the games start, does that mean anything? Doesn't mean anything. No standings are affected by that. But I personally feel it reflects potentially of a larger problem with this team, which is that they got some players who are not the guys that you need.
They're good at hugging.
They love hugging.
Oh, they love
hugging. Oh, they love hugging. They're very good at hugging and pointing. If there was a Stanley Cup for that, they would have had multiple Stanley Cups. But I have a problem with it. Now, 3 months from now, if they're 20-0, they get off to a start like the Devils did last year, I'm happy to say maybe I was wrong about this core. Maybe, you know, but as of right now, they are on notice. They've been on notice. And I think that this preseason has only, for me, worried me more. You don't get that. You don't get that leeway. You won a cup 2 years ago. You're the Tampa Bay Lightning and you come out and you don't win a preseason game. I give you the benefit of the doubt because you've done it. You've been there. Preseason is for just getting in shape. You're not going to go out and play hard. I get it. You have done shit. I don't give you the benefit of the doubt.
Well, right. to expand on that.
Expand on that shit.
To piggyback off of it, as some of my peers like to say. This is their third coach in 6 years, 5 years, something like that. So you could definitely make the argument that if they were to miss the playoffs or get bounced in the first round, that maybe it's not a coaching issue. And I know we could talk about David Quinn all day long. I think
you can make that argument now, but
you can make that argument now. But what I want to see is if this is true about them, you know, not putting in the effort, not working hard, which is what Gallant has said in the past, or Gallant has said in the past, even during the most important games of the season. What I want to see from this coach is some repercussions for that. I mean, and there's no better time to do it than early on in the season. If Panarin decides, I'm not going to back check this game, or I'm going to make 30 passes through the middle of the ice that are going to get picked off, he doesn't have to play the next few shifts. Like, I don't understand how you can keep coming out after in the press conference after games and saying, we did this too many times. This guy didn't do this enough. But then, you know, they're getting 20, 25 minutes a game. and it's kind of frustrating. That's what I want to see from the coach if this is the case going
forward. I agree. I couldn't agree more. If he feels, and he's been around quite a long time, La Violette, he's been around quite a long time. If he has a certain style he wants to play, I mean, what do you got to prove? The guy won a Stanley Cup.
He's been to three.
I'm not suggesting I'm in love with him as the decision to get, but whatever. It is what it is at this point. But like, if a guy is not going to play your style, you're going to pay him $11 million. Whether he plays or he doesn't play. Like, I just feel like I don't understand the message that sends. And I know you can't just bench everybody because you want, you know, these are the guys you need to play well to win. I get that. But look, I don't want to go back to crazy man Mike Keenan, but, you know, he benched Brian Leetch. I'm not saying that was the right thing to do. But
it was probably objectively the wrong thing to do.
Right. No, in the playoffs. But he also pushed him.
Yes, you're right.
My point is, if he believes in his system, he has to also, there has to be consequences if guys aren't doing what they need to do.
Well, I think that was the main thing with Gallant. Go on.
He used to be Gallant. He's just Gallant.
Right, he's just Gallant. He had different like consequences for different players. Yeah. He benched Lauf a couple of times. And I'm like, all right, well, Lauf isn't playing to the best of his ability. But then you got Panarin who'd go out there and try to make a cross-ice pass and get intercepted, and then he wouldn't backcheck. So, yeah. I mean...
And even Laviolette the other day said something like, well, the first period we were playing really, played well. We were north-south, and then we got away from that. We started going too much east-west, and where we heard this before. I mean, this has been this team for the last however many years. So now I want to see in the regular season if guys are going to continually pass the puck east to west to four guys to try and get it through, like, do something about it, you know, bench them or
impose your will.
I mean, I don't understand, like, coaches that are like, we have to stop doing this. What are you going to do to make sure you stop doing this?
You're the head coach, you know?
Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. But yes, I do think the preseason matters to a point contextually. It depends on what team you are. You know, somebody made a point last game, and I know the comedian is waiting to speak, and we'll let him speak. But I'm not ready to laugh yet. I'm not ready to laugh. The comedian makes me laugh.
It's just such a terrible nickname that it's good.
It's terrible. It's so bad. It's so good. Bad, it's yeah, good. Yeah.
I'm starting to like it, actually. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. I started liking it like years
terrible.
Ago.
It's so bad. It's
yeah.
I forget whoever the imbecile was that does they've been doing this thing where the, Sam Rosen and Micheletti do the game, and Ken Danico was like the visiting voice. Oh, Butch right. Goring was.
Butch Goring was there.
Micheletti was the visiting voice of the Devils. Right. I forget who the announcer for the Devils was, but he basically said that the Devils had a great preseason last year. I don't know if they lost. They didn't lose a game. And he said for them at that time in their growth, right, they didn't win back-to-back Stanley Cups, but they were coming into their own. It was used as like a springboard, right? I'm not saying that was the only reason why, but they kind of leapt off of that preseason and went off to that awesome start, right? Which basically secured them a playoff spot, right? So I'm not saying that the preseason means different things for different teams where they are in their development. But I do think for the Rangers where they are in their development, supposedly a cup contender with a new coach, I don't think it's a great sign when the coach comes out after the fourth or fifth game and is like, yeah, we don't back check. We got to back check. We're not working. Like, that bothers. I'm sorry. I think that's – no one is suggesting, as some people on other podcasts said, that no one is going to start blocking shots and laying themselves out. No one is suggesting that you're going to play preseason like it's game seven in the Stanley Cup. That's ridiculous. But skating –
the middle ground, though. Yeah.
The middle ground.
Right.
Skating hard? You know,
you would have liked to seen more fire,
a little bit, completely disinterested.
I think again, this is a team that has something to prove, and you have to imagine that they know that. You would think that the players are aware that this is a season with a lot on the line,
and like Micheletti says,
you would think so.
Learning the new
system,
learning the new system doesn't really. It still doesn't mean that your players can't skate. You just have Chris.
Yeah.
Chris Kreider coasting in the slot doesn't really correlate with learning the new system.
That has nothing to do with the system. Yeah.
But you would think so, right? That a guy like Panarin, who has done shite in two playoffs.
He cuts hair.
He's yeah, that's great. He's in terms of the highest paid players in hockey, where is he in the top five?
He's in the top three.
Yeah, I think he's three.
Yeah. Top three highest paid players. Am I expecting him to go out and fight someone, block a puck with his face in preseason? No, I don't want him to do that. I don't want him to get hurt. But to go out there and basically say, after the two playoff disasters he's had, to get a new coach come in and this guy is just like, whatever.
Yeah, you would have liked to see more fire from him. That's at least my takeaway. That was my takeaway from the preseason. I would have liked to seen some more jump, right. Some more fire. Just and like Phil said, like the comedian said, there's they're playing for something to prove, or they're playing to prove something. This window is not going to last forever.
And also, it's like Artemi. They're saying you're overpaid and overrated.
Yeah, bro, you should have extra motivation.
That's what I'm saying. It's like this is what they're saying about you. Like I. Do you care? I don't know. And again, I know that it's the preseason and he could score, he could have a hat trick every game in the preseason. It wouldn't matter. But it is just like they're talking shit about you. I don't know. If they're talking shit about me, I want to shut them up, even if it's the preseason.
Would you shave your head?
If, I mean,
go that far. I'd go that far.
I wouldn't go that far.
No. I'm willing to do that.
I will say this about, and not to go off on a tangent, but I was thinking about this the other night when I was watching the game. I have to be honest with you. That dude could go out and get 100 points this season, and I don't give a shit.
Well, that's my same position. He's had
he could go out and be the best player in the NHL for 82 games. I'm going to sit back there. Do I welcome it? Sure, but he ain't going to do anything.
Okay. For me.
But that's like, I feel like.
Yeah, for the regular season.
Okay, okay.
He's put himself.
Playoffs.
That's different.
Well, he's put himself in that position, I feel like. Because you know what? He's had 3 or 4, points-wise, really great seasons for the Rangers. That first season with him, he probably hits over 100 points if it weren't for the stoppage.
No doubt.
So, and he's put himself in the position in which he can have a really great season, 100-point season, 100-point-plus season. And no one would care that much until they see it in the playoffs.
I don't.
Yeah. So, I mean, you need the players to get your team into the playoffs. And
I know there'll be some
he's proven Ranger. That he can do that. But, you know, a lot of Ranger fans want to see it in those in April, in May.
There'll be a lot of Ranger fans who are imbeciles will be like, well, you scored 112 points in the regular season. It's like, again, context. This guy has been nothing but invisible in the playoffs. I don't give a crap how many points he scores in the regular season at this point. One time, I get it. It happens. But now we're going into the third season now. If they make the playoffs.
But
if he doesn't show up in the playoffs, I tell the guy after the season, pick the team because his no trade, right? Pick the team you want to go to. Let's work out a deal.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. You could say all you want about if he has 100 points this season, you could say all you want. He's got 100 points. He's did this. He did that. He's done that pretty much for three, four seasons in a row. So, I mean, and that's gotten them where in terms of playoff success besides that one season. So, I mean, it just doesn't for a lot of Rangers fans, I'd say that it doesn't mean much. Mm-hmm. What he does this season in the regular season.
So let me ask you this, y'all, because I come from the South. Given the preseason, and we've talked about that, what are we thinking? The regular season begins on Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, they play the Sabres.
In Buffalo.
Yeah. Let's take a trip up there on Thursday. I'm going to see Buffalo.
I'm already there.
Spiritually.
What do we think about the season? What are our expectations for this Rangers team, this rebuilding team that is now coming into their own? Whose window of opportunity has been decreased to, I think, 6 months. They have a window of 6 months.
They have a window of 30 minutes.
The window a couple of years ago was wide open. Now it's rapidly closing. What do we think? What are our expectations? What are our realistic thoughts about this season? Comedian, you're on the upper left-hand side of my screen. You go first.
Sure, I will start. Perhaps I'm feeling especially jaded due to previous seasons and what has happened with the New York Mets this past season. the context of the teams that I root for.
It's a recurring theme.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like I've seen this movie before. My honest expectations are I think they'll be a playoff team. I don't expect a deep run. I think there's teams in the East that are better than them on paper, and that I expect to be better in practice also. I don't know. Maybe I would be happy. I guess I expect to make a playoffs. I would deign to say I expect a first round win, but I would stop my expectations there.
Fair enough.
If they make it to the conference finals, I'd be like I would be surprised by that.
Yeah. Engineer, what do you think? You want to jump in there?
Well, I'm in the similar boat as Phil, where it's a terrible time to be a fan of the teams I root for. And I mean, New York sports as a whole. I don't watch the Jets or the Giants too much, but goddamn, it's a...
Yeah, Mets and Yankees both missed the playoffs. It's ugly.
So, yeah, it's ugly out here. But I would expect them to be maybe third place in the division or whatever, the conference. I don't know how the hell they do in the NHL anymore. Maybe a wild card spot. I don't expect them to be in, like, the upper echelon or the elite of the Eastern Conference. But maybe upper middle of the pack. I'd say if they were to play like the Devils or the Canes or something, it's a first round exit. They're just not fast enough, I don't think, to compete with those teams. I'd say anything past that is surpassing my expectations. But on the other, you know, on the flip side, I could also see them maybe missing out on the playoffs by a couple points or something like that. If they drop a couple games that maybe they shouldn't have, or
they get off to a slow start while they're
off to a slow start. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I mean, you know how long it takes to learn systems. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I guess that's a pretty wide variety of expectations I could have, but I'd say I'd put them at a first round exit in the playoffs this year.
You want me to go, Great Neck?
I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but
yeah, those are pretty like low ex. Those are low expectations.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I think they're going to pick up their losing ways. They're going to continue this season at the start of the season. At
this
least
podcast is a ray of
hope. It's a long season. They might get hot at sometimes. But I think at the start of the season, I think they're taking an L the first game. I think.
Yeah.
Was young and hungry. I think they're going
to. I agree.
Should I bet that? Yes, you should bet that. Bet on Tage Thompson score. Bet on a Devon Levi shutout. Anyway, but yeah, so I can see them making the playoffs.
Would you wear Levi's to the shutout?
No, the goalie, Devon Levi. Okay. Anyway, they I can see them making the playoffs and getting bounced in the first round.
Playoffs? You talking playoffs?
Playoffs.
I think if they do make the playoffs, I think it's going to be similar to like that 2021-2022 team. Igor just kind of is playing out of his mind, which that this team obviously revolves around the goalie to succeed, which is not good. But I think, yeah, if they do make the playoffs, it's because of that. I don't think they're going to do like best case scenario, second round, maybe conference finals.
Yeah. Personally, I think, and I'm unfortunately prone to being cynical and negative. Surprise, surprise. I don't know. I just don't see it with this team. I don't see it. Part of me tries to guard against my negativity by saying, look, I wasn't like a huge fan of hiring Laviolette, but the guy has had a ton of success. And, you know, looking at the teams he's taken over, he has. So I'm kind of like holding out hope for that, the whole kind of new coach.
First-year coach type thing like you did with Gallant.
I personally think the core of this team is rotten. I've been saying that for a few years. They're not my cup of tea.
They got no fire. You know,
they're not
no
my
fire.
Cup of tea. But we saw what happened the first year with Gallant. Like, so I'm hoping that they kind of catch fire with the new coach.
Right.
He installs a little more defensive responsibility, all that stuff. So – The small part of me that is optimistic is holding on to that. The realistic / negative part of me is kind of like, everyone keeps talking about this team as like they're a cup contender, and I don't see it. I think to your point, GN, that look, yeah, if Shesterkin has a Vezina type year, yeah, they'll have enough. They'll get enough points to get in the playoffs, and you never know. Maybe you strike gold. This guy gets super hot. But I honestly watched them last year, and I know everyone will say, well, what about the first two games? They beat the Devils. And yeah, I watched those two games. I was like, oh, snap. Yeah, they're going to take care of this team. This Devil team isn't ready, right? And then I don't know what happened. Gallant didn't make
– right.
Whatever the reason is. But when I watch them play sometimes, I'm like, they're not even close to this team. They can't skate with this team. So I don't know. I go back and forth. I wouldn't be surprised. I guess I come down on all of what you said. I think they're a step above a threshold team in terms of making the playoffs. I think they're just a step above that. I wouldn't call them a bubble team.
I think they
should make the playoffs in that sense, but I don't see how this team wins a Stanley Cup. And supposedly that's the goal. Like, they're a Stanley Cup contender. That's what people keep telling me. If you put them on the ice against Vegas last spring, I don't see how they beat that team.
Yeah, hell no. Hell no.
I gave them maybe one win in a seven-game series.
If they're a Stanley Cup contender in the sense that their goalie makes a deal with the devil, plays out of his effing mind, I guess, yeah. You know, but I'm just hoping they make the playoffs and then you roll the dice and see if they can catch lightning in a bottle. I don't think they got the team. To be a Stanley Cup contender. I really don't.
Can I bring up a point about the goalie? Yeah. Since we're talking about the goalie.
Should have prepared, but I
oh my God.
Watched TV.
I mean, it's pretty well known that this team lives and dies by Igor Shesterkin. But
And quick. Mostly dies.
Yeah. It just seems like it's gotten to the point where the Rangers have loads of talent on their team, right? Yeah. Well, think about it. You got Big Fox, Panarin. These are talented hockey players.
You know how Dad feels about Fox.
We're not going to talk about that right now. Yeah, anyway, how is it? It just boggles my mind that if the goalie has like a sub Vezina caliber season, this team is done. Now, I also want to point out, I don't think that's really a winning formula too much anymore. Or maybe not too much anymore. Obviously, your team wants a great goalie. Look at Vasilevsky. But the Lightning had an amazing team, really good coach, all that stuff. But the last two cup winners, the Avalanche and then
RP Kemper. The 899 save percentage?
899 save percentage in the playoffs. Sub 900 save percentage in the playoffs. The Knights last year, a third string goalie wins the Stanley Cup. So I just don't know if this formula, which the Rangers have been following for since Hank, so almost like 20 years at this point, it just doesn't make much sense in my mind that your team cannot live and die by the goalie, because apparently you can win with a subpar goalie if you have the team. And if the team is falls flat because a goalie has a sub-insane season – or average season, that's a huge problem in my mind. That's a huge hole.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I mean, Larry Brooks, the beloved Larry Brooks, CCNY.
CCNY grad.
Yeah.
Brooke better, but continue.
said something about how, you know, the Rangers will be able to rely more upon a system this year than in previous years. And we've been saying that for a number of years now, right? That you have to rely not just on your great players playing great, because sometimes they don't, but on a system, right? You can't have helter skelter. The question is, will that be the case? You know,
well, according to Micheletti, they're obviously learning a new system.
So. My question is the willingness of players to play within a system that's going to require back checking. And we'll see. I'm holding it out.
Sure. Yeah. I would love that, but I don't think so.
So hopefully if that's the case, if they are indeed going to play this left wing lock system and they're going to be more responsible in the defensive zone, that this will not necessitate just hoping Igor is otherworldly, saving 40 shots a game, you know, and we'll see. The jury is out. The jury is out. But I'm not, look, I just don't buy it. I just don't think this team has the talent to contend with the top teams. They might have individuals who are really very good players in isolation, but, you know, I mean, if you can deflect your way to a Stanley Cup, then yeah, Chris Kreider, you need on the team and this and that, but I don't know if you can, you know?
So let's talk Let's talk for a second about we're all low on this team. We all don't.
We're selling short.
I hope.
Yeah, we're all selling short. So let's talk for a second. What do we think? What do you think would need to happen in order for this team to be a serious contender, make a deep playoff run? I'm not saying win a Stanley Cup necessarily, but we have these problems. We've talked about what these things look like. How do we fix that? And what would need to happen in order to overcome them?
Blow it up.
Okay, so you believe that there's no way that the players on this team, that the problem can't be fixed while these players are on this, while this roster exists.
Great question.
That is a good one.
And I was joking when I said blow it up, half joking. Here's what I think, and I'd love to hear what the rest of you think. I do think that they screwed up this rebuild. So what would need to happen? all of those questions that we had several years ago would need to be answered. Lauf would need to be a top six player. Kako's going to have to take that next step and become 25 goal. He's going to have to be that guy, top six, really good player. Hedl's going to have to emerge as big time top two center. All the questions that we had for these young guys are going to have to be answered affirmatively. And then all the other stuff. Panarin's going to have to, like, you know, find his way in the playoffs. Kreider's going to have to do what he's been doing. Zibanejad, Igor's going to have to be Vezina level. Yeah, if all those things happen, sure. You know, Keandre takes the next step. I think that they can
compete. That perhaps we only need a few of those things to happen? Or do you believe that all these things would need to happen? 100-point season for Panarin. Keandre takes a step.
Is this to win the Stanley Cup, or is it just to
I'm saying pass the expectations that we have, which sounds like first round exit.
Personally, I think almost all those things need to happen. And I could be completely wrong. Other than that, I think you blow it up, because let's face it, we talked about this several years ago. If all these guys are truly, if Panarin is, for some reason, he's not a prime time playoff performer. If Lauf is not a top six, if Kako is kind of quasi top six, if Hedl is quasi third line, second line center, then I think the rebuild's been an epic failure. I mean, you can't miss on that many swings.
This is the year for me that is with these young players that is make or break. Like,
yeah, this is an instrumental for
this
them.
Is do or die. And let me just say one thing, then I'm going to shut up. Me saying that is not necessarily an indictment of those young players. I don't necessarily think that they were used properly since they've been drafted, which hasn't helped them. Now, they may very well, some of them may be just busts. I don't know. But I don't think they should have been used differently, given that this was a quote-unquote rebuild several years ago. So I don't necessarily blame them. I just want to be on the record, because I know Lauf listens to our podcast and stuff, and I don't want him to think that I'm throwing shade at him. So I blame the organization as well. But I personally think, this is make or break year for that.
Well, he's, in my mind, I think similarly. However, like with a guy like Kako and even Hedl to an extent, I'm more willing to just like hang on to them, because I feel I've seen a lot of potential from them. They're effective. Even if Kako is not 75, 80 points, whatever, like when he was drafted, people were like, this guy's going to go nuts. Even if he's not that, he's an effective player that you can utilize on your team. I'm more concerned is about Lafreniere. Whereas if Kako and Hedl have like similar years, or, you know, slightly better years than they did last season, I'd be more comfortable with that. But if Lafreniere has like the same exact year, I'm a little more concerned. We got issues.
Also a question of expectations. Like when the Rangers drafted Lauf.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If he was some guy they drafted at the end of the first round, then I'm not saying that, you know, you wouldn't want him to be great still, but it's like he was the first overall pick and was like hyped as hell coming to the team. So
consensus first overall pick. Points in the queue since Crosby. People were saying at least 50 points his first year. He's a point per game player, and it's like he's not really even close to that. He got like 40 something last 39. Year. And I mean, he's slow as shit. Let's be real.
Yeah, he doesn't. And we've talked about this before. Like, is he, like, when he skates, he's just not as fast as everybody
else. It's like he's in quicksand. It's like he's trying to skate with weights on his
feet. Right. It's like his feet are moving, but he's not going anywhere. It's the weirdest thing.
I think that's definitely part of it. Yeah, I mean, he's not gifted with natural quickness and speed. But I think another part of it is he doesn't move his feet continuously.
Right.
With his but I will say this, I'm kind of a bit on the fence with him for a while, because I think they've also screwed him over. The stats show that he's also had like some strong numbers, you know,
right,
even strength goals on the Rangers. Forget about the league.
Right.
when he's compared to other picks,
right,
number one, it, through this point in their career, like he has very comparable, similar numbers, 5v5. Like, again, I'm not putting it all on the organization. I think a lot of all the stuff you guys have been saying is true. Like, a lot of things can be true at the same time, but they haven't done him any favors. Like,
no.
They picked him. Here's my problem. I'm going to take a step back with the organization. They were gifted Lafreniere. Okay, he wasn't part of the rebuild per se. They were gifted the number one pick. Jack, you're right. He was a consensus. Scotty Bowman still to this day is like, this guy is going to be a really good player. I don't disagree. Who am I to disagree with Scotty Bowman? The guy's a genius, right, when it comes to hockey. But the organization knew that they had a logjam at left wing. So here's what I say. They drafted this kid. They decided to take him. I'm assuming because they felt like everybody else, this guy was going to be a really good player. So you draft him and then you don't play him. You play him third line minutes. You don't put him on the power play. You don't do what the Devils did with Jack Hughes. And I'm not suggesting that Laf is Jack Hughes. What I'm saying is how you deal with young players. If you were going to draft this kid and basically say, we don't think we could play this kid big time minutes. We're trying to win a cup all of a sudden now, right? Why not trade the pick? Why not do something as an organization or pick someone else? Take the heat for taking Byfield or something who's a center. Take the heat, but pick, like, either way you cut it, they screwed up, I feel. To me, it's the organization that screwed up. If they felt this kid was the deal, they should have played him top 6 minutes, put him on the power play, let him develop. You make a mistake, Laf, don't worry, you're my guy. And in 3 years, if he still sucks, then, you know, we got screwed and we were wrong like everybody else. Or you say, we shouldn't draft a kid till he could play third line minutes, never play on the power play because we might stunt his development. Let's trade the pick and get somebody we could use. Like,
well, if they believed that they were a real Stanley Cup contender, then they could have got some serious pieces for that if they traded that pick.
It's like foresight. Like, what are you doing? Now, I know
people are
looking back, hindsight 2020, but no, that's what good executives do. They see.
Well, yeah, it's their job to prepare for the future. I mean, that's like the GM's, that's the entire point of the position.
Go ahead.
It seems like there was this, and again, hindsight, whatever. Perhaps there was some belief that they could operate on this, like, two timelines, where it's like you can be rebuilding while also contending right now.
Right.
And just vocalizing that sounds crazy.
I think you're 100% right with the way you put that. That's exactly what they decided they thought they could do.
Yeah, they get all these kids and then they sign Panarin to an 8-year deal, Truba, and then they just eats up all the cap.
Yeah.
And then you got these kids playing on third and fourth lines while the top guys aren't really producing as much as they used to. So, yeah. And then kids don't get any experience. So you're in a jam.
What the net result of that is, or at least what the net result has appeared to be so far, is they like half-assed two things and didn't do either of them right because of that. And you end up with nothing. Yeah.
And the worst part is that the Devils did what the Rangers should have done.
Yeah.
And that's the other net result. Like, you know, if they would have taken their time, maybe. Because, listen, in 2018, they sent the goddamn letter that was like, listen, we're going to suck for the next few years. We're going to rebuild, and then we're going to build a team that, you know, contends for a decent amount of time. We're going to have a window.
And then Ranger fans were like,
yes.
We're on board.
Ranger fans were on board, supported it.
Told me you're going to do it the right way.
Yes. And they, like Phil said, they like half-assed two different things at once. And instead, they should have just done what the Devils did. And look at the results. The results are in the pudding. The Devils kick the Rangers' ass every time they play them. It pisses me off. I hate the Devils so much. And I think they're probably going to win a cup before the Rangers do. And makes me angry.
And so to get back to, I know I took us on a tangent, but it's all tied together. To get back to the question about Laf. And here we are in year four of Laf, right? This is fourth year?
It's going to be his fourth year, yeah.
Yes.
Saying, what do we have here? Now,
no one knows.
I know that happens sometimes. Like, who's the guy last year? Thompson.
These guys break out.
But they didn't. Correct me if I'm wrong. But these guys don't break out because they haven't been playing for 2 or 3 years, right? They've been playing, and sometimes it takes time to develop, right?
One guy that took forever was Troy Terry. He took like 6 years.
Right. It happens. It happens. But my point is this. Here we are in year four, and we're like, what do we expect from Love? We don't know if he's this or he's that. And that's my problem. That's my problem. Why didn't we find out a year or two ago? They couldn't. Why? Because as the comedian said, they had these... We're rebuilding a year or two later. We got to win the cup in the next 2 years and we're finished. It's like, what the hell just happened? And now we don't know. And not even that. Now they're talking still about, we're going to take this kid who we don't know if he's going to be good. He is slow. He has faults. This, that. And we're going to switch his position now that he's played his whole life. I mean, what are we doing here?
Maybe he's just going to come out firing hot. Maybe this position switch is what's best.
Listen, the kid seems like a great kid.
He scored
40 goals this
year. If he doesn't put up 80 points this year, I'm going to kill myself. But, you know, then
my point is, this organization doesn't know whether to shit or wind their wristwatch. They do things up and down, backwards.
They're trying to do it at the same time while they're on the toilet.
It's, I don't blame the kid. He might end up being another Manny Malhotra, who is the number one pick the Rangers, and then, you know, was a fourth line center for a while. He may be that, if that. I don't know. He may be Elias Anderson, another first round. They weren't picked number one. Those two guys weren't picked one overall.
What was Elias Anderson? What pick was he?
7.
My point is,
that's brutal.
Just feel a good organization would say, we're going to draft this kid because we think he's the goods, like everybody thought. And we're going to play this kid because we think he's the goods. And what do they do?
That's someone you invested. To make a comparison to basketball, like when the Cavaliers drafted LeBron James, they weren't like, okay, now we're going to put him on the bench for the until garbage time. You know, it's like this was like their entire franchise was like, we need this guy to be good if we want to be a real team.
Right. So this guy was a consensus number one pick, right? It's not that I was saying, what do I know? He was no good. Everybody was saying, you got to pick this kid.
When you get someone like that, it's like, now we really need to, our franchise is like really on this guy's shoulders. Let's give him every opportunity to take us to the next level.
Right. Instead, when he made a mistake, they benched him.
Yeah. He got benched a fair number. He got benched more than.
Again, like, I'm not saying maybe the kid fooled the entire league. Maybe he shouldn't be in men's league somewhere. But my point is, find that shit out the first couple of years.
Yeah.
At least you have a sample to say he's had a rough year or two. But you know what? This kid is making progress. The experts would know. We think that, you know, with more time, he's going to. Instead, the Rangers did the opposite. They picked a left wing who wasn't going to play because the team had too many left wings. And now we're like, can this left wing play? I don't know. Let's put him on right wing to see if he can play. I mean, this is a clown franchise.
For me, it all goes back to the Kreider contract.
This is like the
pretty much everything goes back to the Kreider contract. That's what I say.
But Jack, where are you going to get a guy who could deflect so many pucks?
Joe Pavelski, man.
Where are you going to get a guy that's going to do so many drive-bys?
Have you ever seen? Let me tell you something. I'll be damned if I let you badmouth Kreider. Have you ever seen a guy who can check people with his back like he can?
With his ass?
No, but like this is like the type of stuff that
it's like a truck going in reverse
on NHL on franchise mode. I'm be like, okay, I'm gonna invest in all the young players, all the young good players. But I also want to win the Stanley Cup this year, so I'm gonna sign this 40-year-old dude.
But he really
like franchise mode.
He's watching the preseason.
This is the most depressing podcast ever to start.
We've had more.
Yeah, Lucas. Lucas crying.
I'm gonna kill myself.
I said
Lucas crying.
Season. This is the most depressing podcast.
Well, again, they had the 1-5 preseason start. Last season ended in disaster. Give me a reason to be hopeful, please. I would love to have one.
Well, think about the Mets this season. They
go. Oh my God!
Here, Elvis Presley signed a 1-year deal with the Mets.
Elvis Presley.
Yes.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Him and Tupac.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets.
You gotta merge the Mets and Rangers podcast, I think.
Oh wow! That's awesome. The viewers can't see that, but that's friggin' awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Kind of looks like Keith Hernandez.
Send it into the chat.
Okay.
Right chat.
Oh my God.
So, okay. So we are off to
the chat is going crazy right now,
chat
guys.
Chat is going crazy.
Yo, spam W's, chat, spam W's, spam W's.
I can't tell you how many emails I received.
Thanks for the dono.
I must have received about close to 1,500 or 1,600 emails over the past 2 months wondering about the podcast, when we're getting back. And of course, I answered every single one personally. So
of course,
I'm sure that they're going to get a lot of emails about Elvis signing with the Mets. That'll be a big topic of conversation.
I'm signing with the Mets, baby.
He's going to do the national anthem before every game.
So the, not to
I'll
go
take my talents to
you know
Queens.
I will. Isn't it classic, all the teams we root for? So the Mets are like, they hire like David Stearns, who, you know, by all appearances is supposed to know what he's doing, right? And then like a day or two later, it's like, yeah, the Mets GM has resigned now. It's like, no matter what they do, there's always bad news. Not that I'm a huge Billy Epler fan, but just from the standpoint of like stability, it's like there's always issues no matter what happens.
I don't care about the Epler thing.
Me neither.
At all. But what I will say is I just wanted him in the front office because he got Shohei to the Angels.
Right.
Maybe there's a way he could get Shohei to New York because they have this relationship. But whatever.
Right.
Whatever, man. Stearns is for a different podcast. I have thoughts on that.
I can tell you like $1 billion is going to speak louder than any words Epler can. So.
True. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to talk about the Mets. I don't think. Yeah, whatever. No, I'm not going to talk.
No,
about
don't do that. I brought it up. My bad.
I actually brought it up. Elvis,
you're bad. So where does that leave us, boys? It leaves us 3 days before opening night.
Do we have any hot takes? We were going to do that.
Hot cakes. Yeah.
Hot cakes.
Hot takes or players that we players look out for.
All right.
Players we what?
Just to look out for you, that you think that you expecting something in particular from.
Yeah. Hot cakes.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. I honestly think Capo Caco is going to have a good year because I think he's.
What's so funny? I'm looking at the Elvis picture.
I think
he looks so good in a Mets uniform.
He does. I think this is the year Caco is going to get top line minutes. He's going to be on. We better see him on the power play more often. We better see him more than Trocheck on the power play. I'm talking right now. I'm talking about Capo Caco. I think Caco's got the ability, to be a good player. Not a great player. A good, solid player who can stop laughing. He puts people on his back. He's strong on his skates. I think if you put him on the power play, that's like – extra points that he didn't get last year, he put up 40 points. Let's
go to your head.
Gun to my head. I'm going Capo Caco.
No, how many points?
Can I go like 50 or greater? Can I say that?
How many points do you think he's going
to
get?
I think 50 to 60.
50 and 60, two different things.
Okay, 50. I think he's in the 50s.
Can I just say something, not to be a buzzkill, but didn't he get like 40 something points last year?
Yeah, he got 40.
But that's your big hot take. He's going to get three more points.
All right, then I'll put 60. I'll jump up. He got 40 last year. He'll jump up 60.
You were going crazy. You were going ham on Caco. You're like, he's going to get three more points this year.
This is it. He's going to be
in the 60s. He'll score 200 points.
Maybe close. He's going to have a Wayne Gretzky team. Anyway, like I said before,
50 goals in 36 games.
Shut. Let me speak. He's going to have power play time. I think he's going to have more power. He better have more power play time. I think if he's not in the top six this year, I'm going to kill myself. Okay.
Wow. Should I love you? Let know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a personal statement to love.
Yeah. You will be responsible.
Blood will be on your hands.
I'm a boy. I've been a lifelong Rangers fan.
And
I'm going to end my life if you don't.
Close second is Blake Wheeler. I'm excited to see Blake Wheeler because I like Blake Wheeler.
Malake Wheeler.
Yeah, I like Blake
Wheeler. It's a little side tangent momentarily. Like, yes or no, Trocheck's on PP1 the entire year. Luca?
No.
I mean, Great Neck?
I think he'll start out.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
No, because I think he'll. Let
Comedian?
Me
no, you don't need to. Comedian? Trocheck's on PP1 all year.
I also think no.
Engineer?
No, I think he starts. I think they start with some other people, but then he gets on PP1. But not for the entire year.
Okay. That's another myth.
Let me rephrase the question.
That's another myth.
Trocheck's on PP1 75% of the year. I say yes.
I can see that.
And 75% is a lot.
How's this for a litmus test? If Trocheck is on PP1 for 75% of the year, Laviolette's tenure is a failure. Up and down. Boom. That tells me all I need to know about him.
What if Trocheck scores like 50 goals?
Yeah, regardless of the result.
If Trocheck scores 50 goals, I'll kill myself.
Yeah. That's a miss by the franchise. That's another miss. I forgot to throw that into the bunch. Trocheck, what a miss.
It's an albatross. Anyway, let's get back to hot takes.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go with my hot takes.
Let's hear it.
What was the question? Hot take and what?
Or players to look out for.
And or a player to look out for.
Yeah.
That's so hard. Hot take. My hot take is that the Rangers will not make the playoffs this year.
Damn. Okay, yeah.
Players to look out for. Fox will have another quote unquote good statistical year, but he will prove to be once again a video game impact player. By that I mean he'll put up numbers, but he's not really influencing games.
Okay.
Empty stats.
What's that?
Empty stats.
That's a perfect way of putting it.
What does that have to do with video games?
Well, because I didn't know the right phrase.
He's an NPC.
But Billy Bean knows about this.
Yeah.
That's why he came up with empty stats. That's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
No, but
that's my hot take. I'm done.
Fox can easily win the Vezina this year. I hope you know that.
Fox is going to win the Vezina?
Oh, the North.
Easily, too.
The North. I knew that.
Easily.
Knew
that. No problem.
Blocking pucks with his chin.
I knew it. I think Igor is going to win the Vezina. I think Fox is going to win the Norris. I think Kako's going to win the Art Ross. I think.
The Bob Ross.
Art Ross.
He might have a chance.
Laviolette's going to win, whatever the coach one is.
Jack Adams.
So we got
Laviolette's going to win the Jack Daniels.
Hot takes and players to watch. Let's go.
Comedian make us laugh.
I have a player to watch.
Talk to me.
Yeah. Going up gang signs. My player to watch is actually Jacob Trouba.
Ooh. Yeah.
Miss people repeatedly in the defensive zone?
Well, as the Rangers captain, I really need to see something from him, man. Like, I know that we're talking a lot about Lauf, Kako, like, we're expecting expectations, or we're expecting jumps, or we need to see that. Maybe I just think that this team really lacks is leadership and heart and soul. And if Trouba's going to have that C on his chest, I need to see that from him. So I need to see that from him. I think that the biggest thing for the Rangers to go far this season is for him to just really own that shit.
Question.
Other stuff would be really nice. Don't get me wrong. Like
hit people or lead by example?
I have a question for the comedian. Excellent point. My question is, so did you feel like the whole helmet throwing stuff last year, that wasn't part of that? I'm saying it is. I'm saying, but was that what you're talking about? And you're thinking you need more of that? Or do you think that was overblown to begin with when they were?
I think that was overblown and also just kind of like performative. I don't know. I think that.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see it like just on the ice, like in play. Like, and I don't need that to be necessarily him killing people. Like, I know every once in a while he'll have these crazy hits. I just need like consistent effort. Like, I just need him to be setting the tone.
It's an interesting question that we haven't touched upon directly, but the whole question of leadership with this team, which I do question, and it's, again, it's not a criticism of these men, but like, they didn't have a captain for so many years, and then they named Trouba, and I just think there is something lacking somewhere in that locker room, you know? So,
and I don't love Trouba as the captain, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you.
But if it's him, then okay. Why you? Like, let's see why.
I just wonder, it's a great question. And my fear is, I just don't know if he has the goods to back it up.
Spiders.
well, a spider. Yeah. Okay, and when the engineer's done, can I go back and change not my hot take, but my player.
No, you can't change it.
Oh, because I realized it was somebody else.
No, it's locked in. It's locked in. It's over.
No, he can change it.
Yeah, if you change it, we have to kill you.
Well, I'm going to kill myself anyway if 50 goals. All right, engineer, you go.
He's going to score that goal. You'll be like,
hot take, I guess, that I think that in Brendan Othman is going to go off to start the season in the AHL, and I think they bring him up before Christmas.
Where does he play, though? I hope you're right, but
I think he's fourth. I think he gets fourth line minutes. He's on the fourth line or a third, fourth, bottom six, because that's the only place that they have any room for.
I know, but I'm with you.
I understand, but I think
I hope.
Okay, but I could see someone getting
him up to play him on.
I could see someone getting hurt, and they have to fill in another spot. And why not bring? And why not bring up Brendan Othman instead of? And I like Johnny Brodzinski. I like, you know, those other guys, but. Why not him instead? And I think really my hot take is that he'll play in the NHL earlier than people expect him to. And I think he has really good start to the season at AHL. And player to look out for, I guess I have two.
Allowed to have two, but I can't change.
Yeah, that. I know. That's kind
of. I'm allowed to have two because I didn't go back on mine.
Who are they?
He came in with two.
They're from. I came in with two. Right. I don't know forget it. But they're for two completely different reasons.
Are you going to tell us? She's going to keep talking about it.
I'm going to kill myself. One of them is Will Cooley, because I think he's got a funny name. I don't know. He just looked really good in the preseason, and he seems like he could be a valuable asset to the team. He's got some wheels. He's got some size, and he's got some skill. So, I mean, why wouldn't you want that in a hockey player?
He's with a little bit of an edge. I love that.
He's got a big coolie.
Hugging all the time.
Yeah, he's not hugging.
Who's the other player?
K'Andre Miller, because I think like a lot of like a lot of other people who seem to think that he's gonna go upwards, I think he has a bad season.
Oh, you stole my thunder, man. That's the player I was gonna really zero in on.
I don't think he looked good to finish the season. I don't think he looked good in the preseason. I don't think he's going to have a good start to the season. I don't think he's going to have a good end to the season.
Everybody keeps saying it to the point where you start to think it's like that episode of the Twilight Zone where everyone thinks they're going crazy.
I think
they take off the mask and it's the person who has got the thing.
Yeah.
The
person who's got the thing.
Right. But the pig people.
Right.
With K'Andre Miller, I feel the same thing. It's like...
You call him a pig person?
I know. I'm watching it, and I'm like, this guy just seems like he's skating around. Like, he never knows in the defensive zone what... He's always out of position, it seems to me.
Okay, but I want to clear something up first.
Does he have skill and size?
He's got some solid offensive traits, but good shot.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I want to clear something up. Let me clear something up first about that, though. I think... One, it takes longer for, you know, defensemen to develop and all that. And I know dad's going to, but whatever. Okay, yeah, it's true. However, I just think we could see a year of regression before he takes the next step. And I think that this year is that year.
All right, we'll say. No, that's
I don't think he had a strong finish to the season last year.
I just think he is – look, he's very tall and he has a – They talk about he has a great reach. Yeah, that's his thing. He's tall. But to me, that's his only thing. He reaches because he's tall.
He's fast.
And
skating forward, he's fast.
I just don't get it. I don't see what everybody else sees. I hope I'm wrong. If this kid wins the Norris Trophy 5 years in a row, I'll say happily, I'm an imbecile.
I hope I'm wrong too.
I don't get
it. But also, I don't
get it. He's clueless and he plays with, how do I put it? He is not the only one. He plays a very soft game. So
I don't get why with Keon.
His game is – he plays tepidly. Like, he's, like, shy.
Yes.
Yeah.
He looks like, should I be here right now?
Maybe he is shy.
Like, maybe he's a little shy. Okay, but I think
maybe he's shy.
Is, like
– One more thing.
I'm
one more thing.
He's a shy guy.
No, just to put a bow on. I don't – no, you're going to – I'm going to shut up after this. I don't have a problem with – everybody has different styles. But here's my issue with that, and it's not his fault. they have too many guys with that style, too many ballerinas on the back line, right? Trouba, yeah, every 10 games, he'll knock somebody unconscious. The rest of the games, he's missing people. It's like a turnstile. Okay, but the rest of the defensemen, you know, I'm not including Schneider per se, but look, Fox, Lindgren is, yeah, I love Lindgren, but his body can't cash the checks, is, you know, he's writing. Keandre, a little too many tepid guys. I want guys who are willing to rip somebody's eye out to win a Stanley Cup. That's what this team doesn't have. A lot of guys are willing. They hug. They make movies. They're DJs.
They make movies?
Yeah, whatever they do. They have all different interests.
What? Who's making movies?
Paints now.
I want guys who want to come to camp.
You don't want artists?
No. One artist is good, but too many, no good. You need guys who are willing to say, "I'm going to rip the other guys out."
Dad wants a psychopath on the team. Dad wants a mentally.
Dad wants some more. Dad wants 86 Mets. He wants Lenny Dykstra
out of an asylum to come into practice camp. Be like, I know. I
get it.
Skin off.
He wants Ray Knight. He wants Ray Knight.
But also, Lenny Dykstra on this team would be kind of good. That would
Lenny Dykstra would go nuts.
Lenny Dykstra on this team would be pretty good.
Yeah, I want guys
along with Elvis. Oh, that's my other hot take. Elvis Presley, 40 home runs this season.
I want guys. You got it, baby. I want guys who are going to do what they need to do to win.
That's out of the park, baby.
You know what? You're insulting great people like Mark Messier when you say that, right? You think he's a psychopath who cuts people's skin off? I never said that. But that's a guy who'll do anything it takes to win. That's what I want. Not guys who are thinking about, you know, it's all right, because after this game, I got to go DJ. Or after this game, I'm going to go read 5 books and speak French. Yeah, that's all good.
What is going on?
Chris Kreider speaks like 40 languages.
Does he?
Here's the language
he should speak.
Pup language.
In the playoffs, it's the guy in the corner with the puck. You bury the guy. That's the language I want. I like that language in the playoffs. I
haven't heard of that language.
In the playoffs, you can speak French, German, whatever you want to do.
Just speak it with the cup.
They need more guys who want to rip people's eyes out figuratively, less, fewer ballerinas. I'm done.
Yeah, so what I wanted to say about like 10 minutes ago, but now we're past that. Keandre Miller, he played offense in college.
And no, he started defense in college. That's when he started playing defense, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, yeah, but what I meant, he got switched to in college. So, I never understood it. I guess if you put him on wing, there's already so many wings, I guess. But, like, why not? They wouldn't give him a shot on wing, which, like,
there's too many wings. That's not going to happen.
I wouldn't like that.
Do you feel like he's better at wing than defense?
Huh?
That's what he is.
My whole problem with that whole thing is that I don't understand how you can start playing defense in college, play like 4 years of college hockey, and it's like, okay, now you're going to play defense in the NHL. That I don't get.
But he's doing it. And
look, yeah, I guess he's doing it. But, you know, I don't know. That just seems crazy to me.
He's like projected to start him. So maybe.
Okay, yeah. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And like I said, I could see him having a year of regression before, you know, he becomes what we all hope he does. And I think this is that year.
What is a year of regression to you? Like, how many points? Because he put up like 40-something last year.
Well, I don't know points-wise, but I think he will play bad in his own end. And probably, yeah, the offensive production will be lower.
Well, hopefully this quote-unquote system that Laviolette will install will help all of them. I hope. I've never seen so many guys wide open in front of a net as the Rangers' own net. Like, they just leave guys.
And I've never seen so many guys so unmotivated to get in front of the net.
Yeah.
Have we hit all the bullet points?
I think so.
It's getting late.
I think we said everything we came in wanting to say.
I think this has probably been the greatest podcast ever recorded.
Yes.
It was kind of doomy and gloomy at the beginning, but
that makes it fun. Never have so many sacrificed so much for so few, for so long, for so few, for so long. Never.
When I start a sentence, sometimes I just keep saying stuff, try and make it make sense.
Yeah, sometimes you go in blind and you're like, I'll figure it out on the way. Yeah.
That's right, baby.
So engineer is going to put this podcast out stat, as they say in the hospital business, which means next week. When is the next podcast?
When you're asking me?
Well, should we wait?
What's that? You cut up there.
Should we have a few weeks of games go by so we have a sample size to base off of?
A few weeks?
Yeah, like 3 weeks. And then because
I'll kill myself.
I'm going to kill myself. I mean, you're not the one that's tasked with answering all the emails. I have like 1,500
emails. We can have a short one before the game, be like, hey, man, what's shaking, baby? What are we expecting?
How about we try and shoot for 2 weeks from now? Like that, yeah. We that's shoot fine. For 2 weeks. We,
okay,
we,
yeah, yeah.
I can, we have to I let the fan base know when to expect us so they can make time in their busy schedule.
That's only one less week than I suggested.
I know that.
Yeah. A few weeks. And then you're like, what, a few?
Well, yeah. It's a big difference between a couple and a few.
That's seven more days.
I know. Phil obviously has a lot of days that he could just throw away. 7 days is a lot, Phil.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right.
So 2 weeks then from today.
Yeah, a few weeks.
I'm down with that. I can dig that.
Okay, cool. All right. I can dig that.
Which means that we got to get this out. All right, engineer. So.
I'll stay on top of him. I live with him.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. You can say
all right. Right. Any last words?
Wow, that's honestly, dark.
I do think that this was a pretty good podcast.
I think it was good.
I think this is the best podcast.
I think we had to let out a lot of steam, and this was a steam-filled podcast.
We exercised some demons. I think that maybe now that we all said how much they're going to suck.
Yeah.
Before there's some reverse psychology that happens.
You right. Know?
That's right.
Before this podcast, I was about to go goblin mode, but now I'm feeling a bit docile.
So let's end on this. I'm going to ask all of us one word as a kind of predictive word that you would use to describe this season coming up. One word. Go.
Pain.
All right.
Slow.
Like mentally or?
Everything. I think the team's going to be slow. It's going to be a slow
one
season.
Word. One word.
Well, Luca asked, so slow.
No. I'm going to go lazy.
Slow, lazy, pain. What about you?
Deflection.
Chris Kreider.
Hey, Chris Kreider in front of the Nets, dangerous.
I didn't say anything about Chris Kreider.
And nowhere else.
Right. Nowhere else.
I think that's a great note. Great Neck, you want to take us out here?
I want to take us out.
No, Great Neck, you're going to take us out. The greatest necks of all.
I'll take you guys out. It was a good podcast. We'll see you next time when the season begins. This is NYR DNA signing off.